Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about Season 5, Episode 9, Best Laid Plans. We've got a fun show for you guys tonight, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I am a god.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
Debatable.
Really? Because I'm family with Cassius, and that's what he said.
Because he's your cousin, that, like, makes you a god by proxy?
It's
or,
a
like,
god
a demigod?
Adjacent. See, okay.
Oh, demigod a, at best.
Oh, okay. My gosh.
I like that it's divine adjacent. I like that, guys.
Yeah, but, hey, what are you people, huh? You don't have gods in your family?
Chosen.
Okay.
Oh, I love that.
He's gonna use. I'm only half Jewish, and he's gonna use that against me forever.
I'm gonna go with director. Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. Let's not waste any time. Let's go ahead and introduce our fantastic panel. To my left, Tehran.
Well, actually, it's supposed to be Jesse, who I attempt to kill each and every week, and my plot to do so is slowly working. I am Tehran, also a god.
Tehran, next time, please wait until the air to stab Jesse, because...
We'll get way more hits.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought... Well, you guys told
me don't... Quit enacting your murder plans off screen.
You said don't stab Jesse.
Don't stab Jesse yet.
I stopped listening. I have a problem with that. I stopped listening.
So you stopped listening at don't stab Jesse and then proceeded to stab Jesse. Yeah. See, so, this is what happens. Anyway.
You know, I like to rebel, so I did it because you told me not to. If I'd heard not off it, I would have done
so
it.
So if we had told you to stab Jesse, you would have left him be?
Yeah, I wouldn't have stabbed him. I was trying to poison him. You guys know that.
All right, this
good
is...
move. Good move. To his left, Zach Wilson.
Hey, everybody. Find me on the internet at that Zach Wilson, and also just shaking my head in general.
In this studio, often shaking
Don't
his
be
head.
Next, Zach.
and as you may have guessed, Jesse Klein is not here today. He is taken ill via stabbing. So please tweet him your well wishes at JessKlein1 on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's Themenguin. And you can also tweet at the entire team at ABTV Marvel. Zach has got you guys covered on the live chat. We are going to be keeping an eye on
at
that
least
same
as
hashtag.
Long as my iPad has power.
Fingers crossed. Wow. We'll be keeping an eye on the same hashtag ABTV Marvel for all of you following along on Twitter. So, guys, I know that there was some mixed reception to us being pretty critical of the last episode. That's not to say that we didn't enjoy it, but this episode I thought was leagues above what we had last week. And I really loved the pacing and the action sequences. Did you guys have a favorite moment?
Well, hold on. First, I want to just address that.
Go ahead.
Because here's the thing. When you have to, like do a live show, talk about and criticize or discuss
critique.
A show.
Critique. We're not criticizing.
Yes.
Critiquing.
That's the key, is that, critiquing a show every week, you get into, the stuff that, was more, the louder part. But actually, I really liked last week's episode overall because of, I liked the intertwined, timelines, and I thought that was a really interesting use of all of that stuff. This was right back into the story. This episode was right back into the same story, and I have the same issues with it. And there's same positives, same negatives. This is another chapter. I think we have one more episode in this pod or something like that. And it feels drawn out overall. The beats were good, but they could have done everything in this episode in about 20 minutes.
That's fair.
Well, for me, the episode did feel like 20 minutes because it was so much fun. It's such a good, fun episode. Here's the thing. I want people to understand, because we did get a lot of comments of people saying, well, why do you hate the show? We clearly don't hate the show. We're fans of the show. That's why we're here. We love talking about the show. But sometimes when you're talking about something, you can talk about something you don't like and still like it overall. Just because I don't like a part doesn't mean I don't love, right?
I still love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's still one of my favorite shows to watch every week. But I loved it more in season 2 and season 3 and season 4 than what I'm getting right now. And so I want the show to get back to those plot points that I thought were stronger, the seasons that I thought were better. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what motivated this, like, huge shift in what the show is.
Sure.
And, like, so I think it's going somewhere. I just want to see where that is.
We've had a few people kind of speculate via our YouTube comments saying that they're probably, you know, talking about the decreased budget for this season, all kind of going to episode 100. And so maybe that's what's responsible for some of the pacing issues, is that they're you know, they allocated a good chunk of the budget to that episode.
There's some
padding that's needed to get to that point.
They do the same thing they did with the Inhumans, like where they put a big budget into something that didn't work out well. And that's something...
I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, I hope that's not the case. But clearly there are plot holes in the show, right? And we're watching it because we're fans. It's not like, oh, you just gloss. They've done such a good job of suspension of disbelief up till now. So now when we're watching it, we're still in that mode of, well, you did such a good job in the past. Why aren't you doing it now? However, with this particular episode, I thought it was way more fun. And in the guise of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that we had previously come to know and love.
There's a little more spy agency stuff happening here. Like Fitz and Simmons having to work out and like rebuild some tech.
You also had
like the debate of like, okay, well, this guy is bad and like, should we take care of him? He might be more dangerous. And that debate that a character has to go through of like, should I off this
guy
who worked against us? Like, we have to like trick the bad guy into like, this is all spy stuff. They're actually behaving like spies. This is a spy show. Let's not forget that. But you're talking about like plot holes and stuff. Some of them, like, and this is the thing. It's like, I generally want to give Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. the benefit of the doubt because they've earned it. And so it's like, okay, we had all these questions about like, how the hell is there an atmosphere on Earth and any kind of gravity? Well, okay, now we've explained it. But we've explained it 9 episodes into the season, and we've been asking this since day one. Mm-hmm. They left it hanging for too long that there's like, okay, now we know the gravitonium is the only reason that there's still atmosphere.
It's entirely possible that they trusted the audience to draw that particular conclusion when gravitonium was reintroduced in this season. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt as well.
What I would have needed in that circumstance is just, I wish they could have been like, I don't know who the character would be that would have set this up. So like, I'm not saying like, I know how to perfectly fix this. But like, if a character had hinted that there was something at work,
They've had ample opportunity to do so. And that's what our problem was. It's the drawn outness of this season's arc. That's
it. The difference that it looked like it was a mistake rather than a mystery. That's the difference between how the atmosphere worked and how it's revealed.
I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that is a little bit subjective. It could very well be seen as a plot hole or a poorly executed plot point. Or you could look at it as them trying to just impart that information onto the audience to connect the dots.
I'm just too big of a sci-fi nerd. And I'm the atmosphere wouldn't work like that, you guys. Come on.
Well, speaking of sort of resolving those plot points, we get something we've been talking about a great deal this season is talking about how this particular set of time travel works. And Fitz and Simmons basically lay it out for us when they discover the gravitonium with I might have written this down wrong, but the causal loop paradox, where they basically see that the gravitonium is most likely what's responsible for shattering the Earth apart, and the fact that the only reason why they knew in the future past how to build it is because they're seeing it just now in this moment. It's a Legend of Zelda scenario. You only learn a particular song because you hear it from somebody who heard you play it in the past. So that's that. Anytime you guys, like, we know now, anytime we get confused about how time travel works like this, think Legend of Zelda rules minus the, I guess, Master Sword component.
It's your cousin Marvin. Yes! Marvin Fitz, listen to this formula.
That's a Back to the Future reference, in case people didn't know.
Oh god, I hope we're not that old that people don't know Back to
they
the
don't.
Future
they, I don't think that they do. Enoch has become my favorite character. Can we talk about how amazing of a character he has become? Like, his commentary is amazing.
I never thought that out of all of the people here, he would have had some of the best comedic timing.
Amazing.
His performance here reminded me quite a bit of like Data from Next Generation. Just the well-meaning but very, maybe it's a little bit more sarcastic than Data is, but it's just that it's that disconnect from humanity.
But it's not sarcastic. He's not being sarcastic. If I had a stomach, this is when I would vomit. That's hilarious.
I am not made of metal, nor am I a man.
Comedic.
Dude, read the room.
Spot on comedic delivery.
Yeah, it's very good.
But Zach, you mentioned the philosophical quandary of what to do with Voss. And I definitely want to talk about Deke's decision here. But I also want to point out how, like, pro-vigilante justice Coulson was in that regard.
He was so down to kill. He was like, kill him. Off with his head. You know what? Maybe all this stuff is taking a bit of a toll on Coulson. I mean, he has been thrown into problem after problem after problem. He's, you know what? F it, bro. Kill them all.
Or maybe he's just like, we're going to go fix the timelines and none of this is going to matter. Like, do what you want.
It's hard to tell whether he's like, look, he killed your father. You decide what to do with him in the meantime. That's your story arc, not mine. My hands are clean. Or if it's just kind of a sense of nihilism of like, hey, when we go back in time and we fix this, this entire future will be prevented.
I don't think so. I think, okay, so everyone knows, especially Jesse, that my solution is just to kill. Right? But the concept of
really
that...
Really glad you're not in charge right now.
The concept that Phil was so willing to kill, and that's not who Coulson... Coulson's supposed to be the brains. He's the logical one no matter what happens. He's always the voice of reason. And lately, Coulson's been like...
He's been pretty laissez-faire.
Exactly. He's been a little ready to go.
I mean, they've all been through, like, some dark trauma. Yeah. Like pretty much, like, a week ago. Like, when you actually... Like, it's been a season, it's been a year, but they... What, did they have... Have they had any downtime since, like, season two?
No.
They have not. But they chose this life. They chose this life. They didn't have to join the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Except for Daisy. Anyway.
She chose more than, I think, anybody else. Like, May... was, like, trying to ride the desk, and they were like, no, go back to the field.
Back to the field, May.
I'm retired. Yeah. No, not until we say you are.
Okay.
But, yeah, let's talk about Deke here, because, Coulson basically makes him judge and jury in this particular case. He's like, hey, you go ahead and do what you think is best.
Did he do that, or did he pass the buck, which I took it as in he kind of just was like, you deal with it, and that way it's your timeline.
I feel like he probably, yeah, maybe it's a little bit of like this, we're outsiders in this regard.
Now that's what I'm saying. But it's like now, because he was an outsider every time he was doing something crazy on the lighthouse or making all these decisions. So on this one, that's why I felt like he passed the decision on to Deke, knowing that that would be the easiest way to pass on the responsibility and not have to deal with it himself. Yeah. And that's why I'm saying it's out of character.
It's also possible, though, that he looked at the situation and trusted Deke to make the right choice.
Trusted Deke? The whole point of this whole show is that they... Because they've threatened Deke's life so many times. They made him help
them. Here's the thing. This is the episode where Deke's character arc is complete.
Yes.
Because he's been the type of person to straddle the line, to not pick a side, to not rock the boat, to definitely not be on the up and up, because how are you going to make a profit that way? But he's, like, this entire time, he's been that renegade playing both sides to see who'll come out on top. And this is the moment where he for sure picks a side. And we get a little bit of build up to that with his decision of, what do I do with Voss right now? Because this is the man that killed my father. If he gets out, he could potentially do more damage. And he doesn't necessarily come to that conclusion. He decides not to kill him.
Redeems himself. And Voss. Would you have killed him?
It's a fair question. I mean, my big question is just like, what is Voss like? What is helped or not helped like by this action? So like, is he gonna do it again?
Is he gonna try to sabotage their attempts?
Yeah. So like, I probably would have just like, they're about to leave. I would have left him behind. And you can stay here with all the other, like, people that are staying on the surface. We're just going to leave you here. Because, like, what's... He's been helping his people. Like, I would just wash my hands of the whole situation.
Oh, I never thought of it that way. I would have killed him. No, even after hearing what you said, I would have just... I've watched a lot of Bond movies, and so just... Off them.
You're like, I know for a fact that if you put someone in an easily escapable situation and then walk away, that they're definitely going to live through it.
And thwart your plan. See, mm-hmm. The concept is they will thwart your plan. It's the only time that you actually use the word thwart is when someone escapes.
Thwarting your plan.
Exactly. A plot that you had because you took too long, like Cassius did, in talking, and then thwarted your plan.
I mean, that's the key is, though, is that you're taking the only mode of transportation on the surface and getting the hell out of there. So yep. You might as, like, you're removing him from the situation anyway.
Sure, sure. I would have killed
him. Well, Daisy points out a good factor that may have subconsciously factored into Deke's decision is that Voss is probably only a threat to her. In this particular moment, he doesn't want to kill anybody else. He only wants to kill her.
Really? How's Deke's dad doing?
According to Voss, that was self-defense, which is exactly, admittedly, what a guilty person would also say. But it's entirely possible that because Voss was trying to accomplish the goal to save the most amount of lives with the minimum loss of life.
Interesting.
That's kind of where Deke's coming from too when he's trying to make the decision of whether or not to kill Voss. Like, if I take you out now, will that prevent loss of life in the future? And Voss is like, that's exactly the moral quandary I had. Have some sympathy for me right now. So I think it's very interesting that given that same moral quandary, Deke chose the exact opposite for course of action, which was letting him go.
Redeem himself. But my question to you is this. When Voss said it was self-defense and everyone was kind of buying it, what led Deke's father to attack Voss? Can you just remind me? Voss's decision to kill Daisy, who the seer said, don't kill, right? Oh, okay. And then they chose not to trust the seer, the one who led them all this way and was right the whole entire time. So, is it self-defense, or is it Voss is a murderer, and we should have killed Voss? After a water bottle, okay? Can we discuss? Okay, never mind.
I admire the way you stick to your guns. But, again, the moment where we know for sure Deke has grown as a character is the moment he decides to get involved in the fight between Sinara and Daisy.
True.
And, guys, let's talk about this fight for a moment. Because this is a fight that's taking place in the middle of a gravity storm as the ship is trying to take off and get into space. So Sinara and Daisy are fighting in the cargo hold while gravity is sort of in a little bit of a flux. A flux sort of state. If that's not a good setup for a fight, I don't know what is. And this, for me, I kind of have to agree with you, Tarang, because you're like, the climax of this fight, or the way it was resolved, was a little anticlimactic, but the setup was so good, and I feel like everything leading up to that final moment was really well done.
It was really good. It was a great fight scene. It was actually, to me, more of a redeeming factor for Deke than keeping Voss alive. So the fact that Deke, who's always been a little bit, like you said, towing that line, and also kind of a scaredy cat in a way, like he's brazen with his cleverness, but not with his personal strength, attempted and tried to save Daisy's life at the risk of his own, and even says, I knew this wasn't going to be a good idea, and uses the line, protects her, knowing that, honestly, Sinara's a master killer and could just take Deke out. And still does it anyway, that to me is redeeming quality.
He pulls her down and goes, I immediately regret this decision. Yeah, that Kree is massive. Yeah.
So I thought it was a good fight scene, except at the end when basically the gravity and Sinara makes this great leap, which is crazy. It's like a Matrix leap. And then all Daisy did was hold a pole. Like, she didn't even she just held it. And
that's
she
the danger
impaled
of fighting
herself.
In zero Gs is like once you launch,
You can't.
If you've read Ender's Game, you know all about that. It's like,
yes.
Once you launch off the wall, there's no stopping momentum.
Sure.
So
until
all you
got to
do
the
is just
wall.
Like wait for them, and then literally you stick a spike. She couldn't have, like. There's nothing she could have done. She was always. She was gonna hit that spike.
Well, there is something she could have done. She could have used her balls.
She left those at home.
Look, she couldn't. She couldn't use her balls. The pole got in the way.
That is. Oh my God! I didn't realize that. This entire season, we've been making jokes about Sonara's balls, and a pole is her undoing.
Impaled her, yeah.
Oh my
I don't know
God.
What you guys are talking about. That's
That is exactly what happened. Thanks, Zach. I'm so glad that you have perspective.
I'm just wondering if there's someone in the writer's room who just giggled to themselves, like, as they wrote the script. Ha!
I hope there's no children listening to this podcast. No,
and even if there are, it was a poll. And
it
Sonara
was exactly balls. It was exactly as Zach described it. That he's just giving you a play-by-play of what actually happened.
That is what happened.
It was a fun rematch, too, because Daisy couldn't use her power. So anytime we have more of a reliance on the fight choreography, it's a lot of fun.
And Daisy's an amazing fighter. Like, this once again proves how skilled of a fighter she is, because it's training, and it's Mei's training specifically. And she holds her own against Sonara, who's clearly the, if not more skilled, the stronger, because Sonara's Kree, and Daisy doesn't have super strength as her power. And she's not able to use her powers yet.
It's interesting, the idea that she doesn't want to get the inhibitor turned off. She's sort of like in this mindset of, if I leave it off, then the whatever destruction I might have caused will be impossible.
Sure.
And now I think we're adding closer and closer to the fact that, like, she's not responsible at all.
Yeah.
But it also sets up an interesting dilemma for her. Like, I actually kind of like the idea of her having to go back to the past, but, like, her powers are just completely blocked and there's nothing that they can do about
it. And that means that moment where she decides not to board the ship and turns and walks into the city, she's basically walking in powerless. Ooh,
yeah.
That's an interesting thought. I will say the only thing about this that I'm a little disappointed by is that we were having some really great development with Sonara and Cassius, and now that she's dead, I feel like that isn't really going to go anywhere other than
brings
making
people
him
back. So
that's fair.
Cassius is a god.
Again, debatable.
Well, there's a question. Like, can we move on to Cassius and his whole shtick right now?
Absolutely. The a good kind of bridge point is that Voss did give a little bit of foreshadowing that apparently a light came down when the world was destroyed. A light came down from space right before the Earth ended up shattering apart. And I'm wondering, with a bunch of explosives, you know, up on the lighthouse for a moment, I was thinking, like, oh, maybe what happens is, like, there's an explosion in the future and that has, like, a weird quantum ripple effect into the past. But I don't know. Clearly, that's not kind of how it shook out in this episode. So, yeah, let's talk about Cassius and Yo-Yo and Mac's a sort of rebellion that I love Papa Mac in this episode. Like, him being
Papa,
like,
Papa Mac?
He's a dad. He's spending the entire, episode going, Flint, no, you can't kill people. Go to your room.
Because he likes that. He misses that.
Yeah.
He misses being
And
dead.
I'm so, I want Flint to go back and move in with Yo-Yo and Mac so bad.
I do too.
And then there's just like a family sitcom half of the show. Where
yeah, because it's real cute, because Flint is 16 now. In 2 years, he's just 18. Like, it's not like.
Yeah, they can just do it really quick and then he moves out and, like, we can go on with whatever their lives would be. But, like, okay, for those 2 years, great comedic content.
Oh, so
I like
fantastic.
The fact that Mac is so fatherly. And especially since we don't see as many strong African-American males in that position on television, it's really nice that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. threw that in there.
And he's a positive father figure.
Reminds me of Black Lightning, actually. Very interesting.
Yo-Yo is, it's fun to look at her too, because she's being very motherly, but is also like super a bad influence. She's like, hey, if he wants to kill people, he should totally be involved in killing people. Yeah.
She's a super spy. Like, I feel like it's reasonable that she has that perspective.
And you know, she was fighting cartels, and she fights cartels in her downtime.
That's
like,
what she does.
That's what she does when she's not busy with S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff.
Yo-Yo.
Yeah, she's the best. But yeah, we kind of get a wrench thrown into things when, of all people, Tess walks back down. And for, not going to lie, for a good chunk of this episode, I thought this was a trick. I totally thought that, like, because she had she was wearing a weird sweater, that, like, they had somehow reanimated her corpse, or that it was another inhuman in disguise.
We still don't know what the how he brought her back. We don't know. Like,
yes, we do. He is a god.
The question is it Kree technology? Did they, like, put her through a form of the Tahiti?
The Coulson
project?
That seems to be the implication.
Well, it's Kree blood or something, too, right?
Yeah, well, it was Kree blood was a component of the Tahiti project. It helped bring Coulson back
to life.
That's
what I'm saying. So they have this technology somehow. And it was the assumption, is it reanimation versus reincarnation of some type? A rebirth? Or is it actually just her, which makes you question, so do we die? Can they do that to anyone? When can they do that? How far can they do
it? What's the cost of doing it?
Does that play a part later? Because if someone dies, let's say what we saw in the preview of, like, Yo-Yo being killed, do they bring her back using the same technology? And does that play out? So the implications of Tess isn't just Tess the character. It's now we have a way to bring back people from the dead that we need when we need them.
Yeah, please, just as long as we destroy it by the time we go back to the future, yes. We don't need, like, magic blood on the show.
No.
Yes, we do. I bet you Jesse wishes he had some of that magic blood right now.
To help him with his stab wounds.
allegedly.
The other option is, like, he could have an inhuman. Like, he implied that he has a seer of some kind. Like, we don't know what other inhumans he might have in, like, his stable.
Who do you guys think the seer is? Is it someone we've already seen?
Probably not.
I think sort of. This is, like, tiny, mild spoiler for, like, the teaser.
Go for it.
But in the teaser for next week, they showed a quick shot of a character that's called Ty, who was, like, in the background of the inhuman, like, fighting scenes.
Sure.
Earlier in the season, like, we've seen him, like, twice in the trailer.
Is he the guy with the black?
He has dark eyes and completely black eyes. And he's, like, bleeding here. To me is that, if that's a seer, if I've ever seen one.
And Ty, so do we know Ty has that ability?
No, we don't. I don't know anything else about the character except that we saw that one shot and we've seen him before, which implies that he's an inhuman because he was with the inhuman people in, like, the arena and stuff. So, and, like, all black eyes is, like, that's, like, classic TV movie.
I can see
Summer stuff.
It's entirely possible that it's also a character.
Riddick.
We haven't been introduced yet. We're still, we'll talk about it during news and gossip. But
the chat thinks that, like, is convinced that it's somebody, like a version of our characters that has been stuck around. So, like, an older version of
who's already lived through all of this.
I don't know how you guys are,
a time loop version.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys are getting down Yo-Yo somehow being this year. Like,
yeah, this
isn't like X-Men Days of Future Past where, like, Kitty Pryde has, like, somehow her powers evolved to, like, Omega level.
We know for a fact that Yo-Yo, after the events that are going to take place on the lighthouse, when they do get back to the past, we know for a fact she leaves S.H.I.E.L.D. because of whatever happens to Mac. Because we saw her in that flashback scene leaving. And when Cassius meets up with them during their quote-unquote surrender, he recognizes her instantly, and he's like, Yo-Yo Rodriguez, which implies that somehow he knows her, and he either knows her because of something she does in the past that becomes a historical, that becomes something worth, you know, history making a note of, his seer told him, or as you theorized, it's possible she is the Seer. We don't know what happened to her after she left S.H.I.E.L.D. She might have found a way to get back to the future. I don't know why she would work with Cassius, if that's the case, but it's a possibility. One with a lot of holes in it, now that I say it all out loud.
Which is why I want all these holes to be just, I need them to be tied in and filled by the time we finish this arc. That's why, that's what my biggest critique is they've introduced so much information yet. And I have given them the benefit of the doubt slowly, but how long did you say, how many more episodes in this particular arc?
I'm double checking that right now. They said that this pod was going to be 10 episodes.
So it's either one or two at the most.
Yeah, I think, yeah, let me look it up.
So if it's one or two at the most, I'm going to need a lot of this stuff. I'm going to want to understand. I want to know why Fitz wasn't one of the ones taken to begin with, right? And how that causal loop happened where it's like the Zelda thing you said, but why? Like, just because there has to be a reason. I want to know where Enoch, like, what's Enoch's real storyline, because there's more to that story.
Yeah.
I'm going to want to know what happened. If we don't know why Cassius is going through all this to begin with, I'm going to be very frustrated as a viewer.
Next week is the 10th episode. And if the earlier reports that the initial pod was going to be 10 episodes is true, and they didn't change anything, then yes, next week would be the last one of this pod, which makes sense, because that would mean that would give them the 99th episode back in regular
before
time
100.
To tie up like any arcs, and then it's episode 100, which is the one where everyone's sort of speculating a big Black Panther tie-in.
Yeah, because like even now,
it's the same week.
I'm still wondering what happened to Vijay. Like, why did he get? And then we see him
still at the bottom of the ocean in the past.
I'm still like, what? Vijay, why make me so attached to this guy? You know what I'm saying?
I'm still waiting for a Robbie Reyes and a beautiful hair to come back. Like, we got to get a payoff for that Coulson's deal with the devil thing, right?
Yeah. Oh my god, if that would be the pause, just like going back into the Ghost Rider stuff, I would love that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We can speculate on next pod forever.
For absolutely. And guys, like I said, I have full faith that by the time we get through this particular pod, all of the loose ends will be tied up. So it's just one of those things about being patient. And if it doesn't, then
fight them to the death.
Whoa.
Okay.
I was gonna say write a strongly worded letter, but okay, that works too.
I will write a very strongly worded letter if they have not. They now introduced gravitonium multiple times in this season. They're shoving it in our face, being like, look at it. Look at the gravitonium. And I'm like watching the bubbles, like, is there a face in there? Is there a face in those bubbles? There's not. There better be soon.
If they wrap up this series without a graviton payoff, Zach is gonna
fight himself to the death.
They're messing with us at this point. If like just show
they're not messing with us, Zach. They're only messing with you. What if there's a writer's room and they're like, you see this Zach guy and his obsession with the Gravitron? All right, let's do this. Yeah, throw it in there. Yeah,
I do want to talk about Cassius really quick before we get into like news and
do you
gossip.
Mean
what?
Cassius?
Uh-huh.
Who is a god?
I was waiting for that.
Is that who you're referring to?
Yes. Okay. Because we see him, I feel like a lot of groundwork is being laid for him just becoming more and more unhinged.
Sure.
Because in this episode, he's, you know, asserting his dominance as a god, which is really funny when you think about it, because when we were just getting into all of the inhuman stuff way back in, like, season one and two, the Kree were referred to as angels and these, like, celestial heavenly beings. So it's funny that he's like, yeah, I'm your god now. But he's outsmarted in this episode, even though there is a little bit of back and forth, because he has the foresight to at least have a force field so that, Yo-Yo can't chop off his head.
Well, I think she was just going to snatch
the little controller.
The controller.
But she really wanted to cut off his head.
Did.
Which, that, like, it was a dramatic scene, and it definitely made me wince, but, at the same time, it was this very Roadrunner-esque sequence where she runs right into the force field.
Wile E. Coyote slapped her.
But she should have seen that coming.
But, I mean, this whole thing shakes out very poorly for him. Like, the second Tess comes back almost empty-handed, he's like, yeah, I'll go down there and meet them face-to-face. That sounds like a good plan. And it's that arrogance.
He's arrogant. His downfall is clearly hubris, no matter how we look at it. That's Cassius, you know, and most gods. Myself included.
He goes down there in his hubris, and this plan totally backfires on him. And now we know for a fact that Sinara's dead, and they're on their way back to the lighthouse.
Or does it? And I'll say why. Because we're introduced to the fact that he goes down and talks to them, which to me, or to you mere mortals, seems stupid. But he has a seer. And what if his seer saw him go down and talk to them? Like, this is part of the
all part of the grand plan.
Exactly, because he has a seer. So he knew right away that the ship was coming and all these things. Clearly, his seer is smart. His seer is correct, if nothing else. So why else go down there and be ready with the force field?
That's a fair point.
Did Cassius think of that, or did the seer advocate for that?
That's a fair point. My concern is that the second he finds out Sinara, his, you know, right-hand man, is dead, that, like, anything that's, like, even vaguely keeping him together is just going to completely unravel.
That's what you think.
Yeah.
Zach?
I mean, that's the natural
progression. We're hoping Zach has a...
just, like, a prediction?
Not a prediction, but, like, an understanding of, like... I mean, because you have really good insight in these characters, more so. So, we don't know who the seer is, but do you think Cassius, for example, did it on his own? Or did the seer advise him, and that's why he went down there in the first place?
I don't know what the seer would have said that would send him down there. I think there was enough.
He had to go down there
because he was, like... They were holding.
They had him by Sinara's balls.
That was inappropriate. That one, that time, that was that you pushed that. They had his
valuable, like, inhuman blood, and like they basically set back his, like, inhuman farming, by probably years at this point, because they destroyed all of his samples that I think they were using to, like, to clone people in order to breed new inhumans. So,
well,
they've ruined his life's work that, like, theoretically he was about to get ready mm-hmm. to take to his father to, like, buy his way back into the family.
Yeah.
Robin dead?
Yes.
No. Hear me out. If I had asked you last episode, is Tess dead, would you have said yes?
Yes.
It was Tess dead?
And this is the danger anytime you have a resurrection device on a show like this.
I mean, is Robin dead, or did they possibly clone her? Or somehow have Robin the kid in his corner.
I mean, maybe. There's enough wibbly-wobbly-timey-wimey going on for a younger version.
I don't think our seer is going to be a big reveal of some kind.
I mean, maybe it's as simple as Dove Cameron. Like, whatever character...
Ruby.
Yeah. Whatever. Like, maybe that's who she ends up playing. I don't know.
A younger version of Robin. Okay, no.
Do we want to get into news and gossip?
Yeah, we can go ahead and dive into some news and gossip then, because we're here. Let's talk about the news about Dove Cameron's character that was released.
News and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
I saw the finger, like, ready to hit the button. So Dove Cameron's character has been revealed, leaving me in a question as to why they didn't just, like, say something about this.
Why the secrecy?
On. Yeah, why the secrecy? Her character's name is Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the only things we know about the character is that she's the daughter of General General Hale, who was the woman who killed the two agents that were guarding Fitz earlier this season. That's all we have. And a photo of her looking like a rebellious teenager in her, like, hippie bedroom.
Okay, then it's probably not her in the future, then. We'll probably be introduced to her when our group gets back to the past.
Oh, yeah,
Back to episode 100. Yeah, 100%. I was just...
When is she... Does this say when she's getting revealed?
what the whole thing she is, will, it could be just because March they wanted 2nd. To build it up. Like, I would have built it up. That was a big thing, and it garnered a lot of interest in her character. And we still want to know what the storyline is with Ruby. And especially after the way we were left off with General Hale.
Yeah.
I mean, Ruby is clearly going to be a huge reveal.
Yeah.
It's going to be a huge reveal of who General Hale is, because the speculation was she could have even not been human the way she callously killed the two officers. So
there were some murmurings that Hale might have been an LMD who might have been working with the superior in that regard. It's hard to say, but chances are, given where we left off with her, that she will most likely be an enemy to S.H.I.E.L.D. when they do get back to the past, because they still have to live through that whole Mace fallout thing of the director getting killed, of...
Jed Whedon said the role she's playing, she's not an obvious fit for. That's the quote.
Okay, so she's been cast against type then.
That's what he's saying.
Okay.
We'll see what that adds up to. I don't know Dove Cameron as an actress well enough to say what her type definitely is.
It's actually right up this sci-fi alley. But yeah, okay, we'll see.
but look,
if she was cast as a nun. No, I'm just saying. In a Daniel Day-Lewis movie, that would probably be against type.
But is she a more like a gentle person? Does she generally play more gentle characters versus aggressive characters? Like, I think it's probably something more in line with that. Or if she's not used to playing action characters, maybe she's...
She does action.
Maybe she's in... maybe she's not. Maybe she's like quiet, like nerd.
Maybe it's also whether or not she's an ally or an enemy sort of thing. Like, is she playing a good guy or a bad guy? If she normally plays good guys, maybe she's going to be more of an antagonist in this regard.
Somebody's saying Skrull. I see the word Skrull in the chat.
Ooh. We've been saying that for, like, 3 seasons.
I don't buy them introducing Skrulls on S.H.I.E.L.D. unless they're going to introduce them into Infinity War, and then it's going to be like working backwards, like, oh, well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. secretly been doing Skrulls this whole time. But I don't see that.
Yeah.
And I don't see Infinity. I could see Avengers 4 is going to be involving the Skrulls, but that's not for another year and change.
Yeah, that's still a lot of movies and TV shows to get through.
To get there. There's like 15 movies and.
Maybe an adversary of the Chromacons, I guess.
Like, maybe.
I don't know.
It's hard to say, but we have lots of time to speculate prior to that point. Guys, and speaking of which, do we have any other thoughts on this episode before we move on into predictions?
Well, you were bringing up a point about May being a lot more motherly.
Yes, I definitely wanted to talk about Mama May in this episode, because she can't really see herself as a mom, but everybody around her can. It's like, are you kidding, May? And
she's everyone's mom. She's just kind of a strict mom. But she's everyone's mom on the show.
As Daisy puts it, no TV, home by 7:30, curfew sort of mom. No nonsense that way.
Exactly.
And let's be honest, May has the best mom look. Like, in terms of, like, that look your mom can give you to make you go, oh, I'm sorry, I definitely was in the wrong there.
And she's definitely Mommy Daisy, who I love. So it's like she's been a mom. She's been a mom to everyone, and Coulson's dad, and hopefully dad and mom.
Get together. That would be great.
Mom and dad, get back together.
Well, it's a nice character arc for her, because so much of her inner turmoil was failure to save a child, and then, you know, that caused a lot of intimacy issues, so that she never actually had a family of her own. So knowing that in the future past she's going to be a mother to this young girl, that's a very fulfilling thing for her, and I personally really like where they're going with that.
But by presenting by fixing the future, or the past, future past, whatever, she won't ever have that, or she won't have that with Robin.
Well, it'll be,
she'll be able to help, hopefully go back and save Robin's actual mom, which I expect as we get into predictions with a minute left. I will predict that is going, we're going to have a very emotional moment, not next episode, but the episode after, between May and Robin's mom, as it's like passing the torch back Like, I take like care of her.
Because they haven't lived through all that yet. Yeah, I'm predicting that, like, when we get to that point where they go back to the past and after everything happens, we'll sort of see, like, a montage moving forward. And then once we get to the point where we can fix everything, then sort of the universal reset button will hit back. Mm. So they'll still have lived through it, but we'll still, like, end up fixing the problem, if that makes any sense.
So they have the experience, but it never actually happened because...
Yeah, but
wibbly,
they fixed
wobbly,
it.
Timey wimey.
But they fix it, and then everything is good for forever until we get back to the LMD stuff. all right, well, I think that just about does it for this episode. Zach, where can people go if they want to find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, all over the internet, at that Zach Wilson. That's Zach with a C-H. Be sure to stay tuned. I think Jesse and I have a project that we are assuming he's not
just
dead.
Just say you have a project. That's true.
But stay tuned. We're working on some stuff, and hopefully we'll have something to reveal to you very soon.
Oh, well, that's great. I can't wait. I am Teron, literally at I am Teron. And in case you were wondering where to find me in heaven, because I am a god.
Sure. Let him think that, guys. But please, please, please do not kill Jesse before they get a chance to reveal what they have in store.
How important is Jesse to this thing?
I assume integral. So, guys, again, please be sure to tweet him your well wishes at JessKlein1 on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. Again, be sure to follow the whole team at ABTV Marvel. Like and comment on iTunes, guys. It's the best way to let our producers know that you like the show that we're putting on. Thank you guys so much for watching. We will see you all next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye.
See you later.
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.